Speak loudly, please.
Okay, we got it. This is not the mic here.
Turn it on. It's on.
It's on.
You gotta be right there.
Yeah. This is a discussion on the traffic calming policy. At last month's work session, I came before you all with a draft policy, and we had a discussion during the work session, and what I've done is taken the comments I received from the mayor and council of that and gone in and revised the policy based on those comments, and coming forward again tonight with the revised policy for discussion. The policy was handed out, and I put the changes that I made and marked them in red and or strike out if they were items that were deleted from the item. The major changes that we had in the policy was we added a section on definitions used in the policy and in the implementation of the policy. This was primarily taken out of the ordinance as it was now currently written, so it's just defining the basic terms. Based on the feedback from the council, we revised the voting procedures to eliminate that minimum 90% of the households voting, but left it as just the minimum of 75% of the households approved. So all it is just a single voting standard of if 75% of the households in the affected area approve it, then the petition is accepted to go before mayor and council for vote. Based on the discussion, we retain the 50-50 cost split between the neighborhood and the city for cost of installation of what we're calling active traffic calming devices. These are more like the speed humps or chicanes, stuff that actually involves construction. I made the distinction to take out passive measures, which are things like no left turn signs and speed control signs and things like that. Those are low-cost items, and those should be dealt by more by the city. That's more the high-cost construction items. The other, based on the feedback I got, is billing the neighborhood portion over a two-year period on the property tax bills through a property tax assessment as opposed to making them pay up front. What this will mean is that, in many cases, the city will have to front the money to do the construction, but we'll recoup it over a two-year period. For that, and I gave the example of the cost. If the cost of the neighborhood was $5,000 and there are 25 properties in that area, each property would pay 1/25th of the cost of $200, and that would be done on a special assessment of $100 1 year, $100 the next year. We added a note within the policy to end. One of the things we will add, make sure we add, it'll be part of more of the implementation of the discussion that goes with the neighborhoods that are looking for traffic control, to make sure that it's clear that the installation of traffic calming devices may affect the ability of the city to obtain the block funding for that street, which may delay the ability to resurface that street. If we don't have LARP funding, it doesn't mean it won't get resurfaced. It just means until we're not getting state aid for it, we'll have to do it more with just all city money, and it'll be more dependent on the city budget process for that. And then finally, what I did not include the last month was just included all the appendices, which had all the more details of the different devices that we had talked about 2 months ago, plus the forms, the petition forms that we were using for, that we would be using for the traffic calming. And I'm willing to take any questions regarding the policy or comments, feedback on it.
No? I have a question, Richard. Scenario mentioning the LARP funds. If a neighborhood were to put in the traffic calming devices, particularly speed humps, and then the next year a LARP grant came available for that street, would they have to take those out, remove those, and then reinstall them?
The way LARP funding works now is, in the past, LARP wouldn't even be considered for roads with speed humps. Now, the states revise that a little bit in that they will consider it, but at cost of the city and or the neighborhood, however we do that, they would have to be removed before the LARP money could be spent and then replaced, then put back afterwards if the neighborhood wanted them put back.
I guess the second question there is, say you had this happen in a three-year period, you put the speed humps in, the LARP funding came in, you put it back, would we anticipate the policy charging that neighborhood twice since we're incurring twice the construction cost?
That's something we would have to look into. What I would anticipate is that if we knew that the road was that bad or shaped for paving-wise, we would counsel the neighborhood to wait before putting the speed humps there.
I thought when we talked about this last month that we had said that we were going to set up a threshold of 75% hold and 65% affirmative. But that's the way it reads on the attachment. The comments, petition says 65, but the text says 75. I thought we agreed that we were going to lower the threshold a little bit, but I may be wrong. Guys, help me here.
I think, as I remember, we took out the requirement for the 90%, right? But we left the other one at 75.
So we're going to insist on 75% yes to put in a road hump?
75% yes. But it doesn't have to be 90% of the people voting.
Gotcha.
75% of the total people.
That seems high to me, guys. I think that it would be very... I think we may... That, practically speaking, that may mean that we're never going to put any more speed humps in.
Can we
I think we should lower the threshold.
Split the difference at least?
Just as a point of clarification... Point of clarification on the form. The current policy, as it's in the ordinance and as Cap County did, is 65%. That's why the form is that way, because that's the form we're using now. Same, we would use the same form. It obviously would have to be updated. But the 75% was in the, when I presented last month, that was a common level used by most jurisdictions. We can set it, I mean, we're open to set it at whatever the council feels it should be set at.
There's no magic.
Right, that makes good, yeah.
What's the difference to
70%? I mean, 75% is just fine. I think I'm going to go with 70%.
I can do 70. Sold. I'll make that change before it comes out. The other thing, anybody else?
Yeah. I have a couple issues. On page one, you have in yellow the volumes.
Yes.
Have those volumes, was that DeKalb County's volumes, or was that something that we put into place?
DeKalb County did not have, all of DeKalb County's requirement was it be classified a residential street. This was in the discussion last month, when we presented last month's files, but to add minimum threshold volumes, some of this is to eliminate, to make sure it is a cut-through street as opposed to a single entry cul-de-sac that has a speeding problem. If there's, we have some streets that are just small cul-de-sacs that's a closed off neighborhood, yet they have a speeding problem. We want to make sure that there's a minimum number of vehicle threshold. And this is, in the comparison I did with several other jurisdictions, these levels are about what is standard through one way or the other surrounding jurisdictions use for minimum thresholds.
Okay, so we're putting that in. You may or may not have this information available. The traffic calming that we just passed over by the new school, what were their volumes and would they be subject to traffic calming under these conditions?
I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I believe the 400 vehicles per day or the 400 minimum, the minimum 400 vehicles per day would be meant for that neighborhood.
Okay. There is also a $25 per year fee that goes to the maintenance of these devices. Traffic speed humps, when do they first need maintenance? What's the average life? I think it's a moneymaker. I think we're charging more than we need to for the maintenance of speed humps. Am I wrong?
I think, unless you include the replacement, the removal and replacement during repaving is included in the maintenance cost, then I think when we did the, I'd have to go back to the notes when we were discussing this one neighborhood, but I think the payback period was about 10 years at $25 per
13 and a half.
What was it?
13 and a half.
13 and a half years, which if we're repaving the road every 20 years, 15 to 20 years, depending on this condition, that's about equal to the cycle length of removing and replacing for for resurfacing, so that will cover the resurfacing costs involved, or the work involved with resurfacing for those, plus any maintenance of wear and tear that occurs to those over the speed humps. In reality, a lot of it depends on how well they're constructed, and our goal is to make sure they're constructed so that they don't fail, and so we do minimal amount of maintenance, but I expect it would be like any other pavement, that within a 10 to 15 year period, they're going to need some significant maintenance, at least spot maintenance.
On the scenario in which we have paying 50%, $100 for each year, on year two, will the residents be paying the amount for the fee as well as the $25 maintenance fee?
I believe, as it's currently written, it can be interpreted that way. That's a clarification we could make. In the $25 fee, that's not changed. That's in the current policy, and that's not a thing. We weren't proposing changing that. That is something that as council, if you want to delay that $25 maintenance, or if you want to eliminate or reduce it, that's something that the council can certainly weigh in on.
Final point is the fact that, as Ms. Harris brought up, we are trying to give the same amount of service as our predecessors at the same and equal level, same price. Are we not doing a tax increase for those very few amount of issues that we're doing? Is this not a tax increase for the same level of service? It's just a question I'm raising, just rhetorical. I understand there's costs. I think they need to be borne out. But when you have a street that has 20 houses on it, and yet there's a cul-de-sac off to the side, I think the ability to get the 70%, if that's what we go with, will be very difficult, because the people on that cul-de-sac will not see the direct benefit for their children playing in their front yard. It'll be harder for them to vote yes for $100 the first year, possibly $125 the second year, and $25 for the rest of their life. I don't know, I'm trying to make sure that we're doing this properly and that we're weighing out all the issues.
Let me weigh in on that question, John, just at one time here. We play the devil's advocate just a little bit. Is that a tax increase? How about the person that doesn't live anywhere around that neighborhood, and because of the taxes they're paying, some of their tax dollars are going to this? Are we taxing them to do this? Just to throw that out. I happen to live in a place where we pay for speed bumps. But what about the person that doesn't have any speed bumps around them whatsoever? Part of their tax dollars are going to this. So, maybe that becomes a little bit of a wash in that way. I've got a couple other things. I read somewhere in here that it didn't seem to me like to initiate the process of this. And, once you initiate the process of this, it's going to take some staff time, and et cetera. And I don't know, it seemed to me like as I read this, one person could initiate this. Now, I don't know, maybe I misread that. In other words, just one person starts it, all the speed bump, and he kicks it into the city, and the city has to go through all this work to come up to do this to the vote. I think it'd be more apropos that some percentage, just so that, maybe Benny Shardle's a kook, and he just likes to see the city work, so he just says, hey, golly, I want a speed bump out here. I'm just thinking that maybe we need some percentage, maybe 10%, 15% of the people affected, some percentage, or at least we have, some representation that few of us can get together and say, hey, we need some speed calming devices here, instead of just one person saying, and activating the whole system. I thought that it'd be more apropos that 10, 15% of the households affected, they stood up and said, it seems to me like it'd be pretty easy to get that percentage of people together. And then you'd have a consensus of that area, a small consensus, agreed, but a consensus of that area that would be, that they would want, some kind of speed calming device before you went through the staff gyrations and everything else to get to come out and get the road going. I thought some addition, and Richard, I don't know, maybe it's in there, but I didn't see it.
It's not in the current policy. It's not in this draft policy. There is actually a provision in the current policy that requires, I can't remember, it's 20% threshold is the current policy. Yeah, so 20% is the current threshold that they have to submit a petition with 20% of signatures to initiate the traffic studies.
I think that would just be more fiscally responsible personally for our city. Whether 20% is the right number, I don't know. But I just think it's something other than one person. I'm going to bring up another subject here. I thought the 50-50 split, I didn't remember the 50-50 split coming up last time. I thought we had more of a higher than that. I had a 75-25 split. I'm willing to compromise on that too, right? You know, 2/3, 1/3. And again, the idea is being fiscally responsible to all 43,000 citizens out here that are paying. You know, the government has no money, city council has no money, the mayor has no money. The only money that we have are the citizens' money, all 43,000 of them. That's how many we have, so that's what they're telling me. So I thought that, you know, somewhere around, 2/3, 1/3 split was more apropos, with the city paying 1/3. Again, you cannot treat one street differently than the other street if they meet the qualifications here, in my estimation. Everybody must be treated equal. So therefore, we had a rush on these. We could have a fight and outlay for a couple of years. And, I just feel that there needs to be a little bit more of the citizens that are affected paying that, and then the citizens that aren't affected are still going to be paying a third of the bill. Comments?
I like the 50-50. I thought that's a good compromise, but this is not a hill to die on.
I agree. I like the 50-50 as well. My feeling is that it's not just the citizens' street that the traffic calming devices are on who benefits. It's the people who are driving on it too, because if they hit a child with a car, even though they're the ones who are speeding, that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. And their kids on the street and Village Creek Drive, those are high school kids and college kids who just don't know any better not to speed, who have accidents on that street, and their parents want them to be safe. So the parents don't mind paying the taxes, Denny, to keep their kids safe. So the parents who are paying the taxes are benefiting too. So I'm sorry, I respectfully disagree with you, because I think their parents, even if they live across town, don't mind paying a little extra taxes to keep their kids safe. So I wouldn't want to
float that on the basis of your statement to say that we're going to raise taxes next year to do that.
And no, we're not raising taxes. Just 50.
Okay, well, it's a point that I think that needs to be discussed, but I just, I'm going to throw it out on the floor. Anything else on traffic calming devices? Anybody else want to weigh in? Okay.
So 20% back in there.
Just 20% as a little bit of money.
Just to summarize, what I've heard is change the voting threshold down to 70%, add the 20% petition to initiate it. I didn't necessarily hear consensus on John's issues, so I'll leave that open for now. If the council wants to weigh in and provide me feedback, I can incorporate any changes during the week.
I did have one question regarding the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to repaint the triangles that are on the speed humps or replace the signs?
Well, the signs are going to be contingent on how long, just like any sign, how long they last. Same with the pavement marking that's on there. If we do a good job up front, it will last a while, but obviously that does have to be replaced. The sign, but those costs are usually for the pavement, the paint and the signs are minimal. Signs are about $125 a piece, so if we replace it every 10 years, it's not that that much. And just to finish up with it, with what the next agenda item is, the way we're viewing this is, right now the policy is actually codified in the Code of Ordinances. What we're doing with the ordinance is making it an ordinance, basically saying, which is the agenda item coming up, is the first read of the ordinance to just say that a policy will be established that will be approved by the City Council and implemented by the Public Works Department, and then eliminating everything in the policy and the ordinance that's there now.
Aaron, do you want to read up 7?